Picture, for a moment, a hiker on a trail somewhere in the foothills, late in the afternoon. She has been walking for about 3 hours. The map she has been following showed a single clear trail through this stretch of forest, leading down a small canyon, across a stream, and up the other side to a ridge with a view of the valley. She's been on the trail the whole time. But somewhere in the last 40 minutes, the trail has stopped looking like a trail. It is still there, in some sense, a thin, worn line through the underbrush, but it splits in places, and the splits do not seem to rejoin, and the marker she has been following, small bands of orange paint on tree trunks, have not appeared in a while. She is not lost in the dramatic sense. She has a rough idea of where she is, but she is no longer making forward progress toward the ridge. Each fork she takes seems to lead to a small clearing or a slope of loose rock, or once a creek bed that goes the wrong way. She has been doubling back. She has been trying paths. She has been getting more tired and slightly more anxious, and the light has been shifting toward evening in a way that adds urgency to every wrong turn. At some point, she does the thing that an experienced hiker eventually does in this situation. She stops. She puts her pack down. She drinks some water. She sits on a fallen log and looks at the map, not for a few seconds, but for a real 5 minutes, comparing what she actually sees around her to what the map says she should see. After a few minutes, she has located herself. She is about a quarter mile off the actual trail, in a tangle of small side paths that do not appear on the map at all. She backtracks deliberately all the way to the last marker she remembers seeing clearly. And from there, she starts again, carefully paying close attention to the markers, not the worn shapes in the dirt. That moment, the moment she stopped and chose to back up rather than keep pushing, is the moment we're going to talk about today. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 25. When the agent gets stuck. Today we are going to walk through a situation that anyone who has worked with an artificial intelligence agent for more than a few weeks knows well. The agent is on a task. The agent is producing output. Something is going wrong. And instead of fixing the wrong thing, the agent is producing more output in the same direction with more confidence than the situation deserves. The agent is, in plain words, stuck. By the end of the episode, you will have a small, clear set of moves you can make when this happens, and you will know the cost of failing to make them. Let me start with what stuck looks like. The signs that an agent is stuck are usually subtle for the first few minutes, and then increasingly obvious. The agent runs into a compile error. It tries to fix the error. The next attempt produces a different error. The agent tries to fix that one. The third attempt brings back the original error. You watch this loop happen once, and you think, this is fine, the agent is being thorough. You watch it happen three times, and you start to feel a small worry. By the fifth iteration, the worry is sharp. The agent is not getting closer to a working program. It is just rearranging the same broken pieces. Or maybe the loop is different. Maybe the agent is calling a function with the wrong arguments and the test fails, so the agent changes the function and now a different test fails and the agent changes that one and now the original test is failing again. The shape varies, but the feeling is the same. You're watching effort that is not making progress. There is a temptation in this moment to keep watching, to let the agent take one more try. After all, it just needs to figure out the missing piece, and then it will be fine. This temptation is almost always wrong. The agent that is stuck after three iterations is rarely the agent that succeeds on the fourth. The state inside its context has accumulated too much noise. The wrong attempts are still there, in its memory of the conversation, polluting its sense of what the right answer should look like. Each additional attempt is more expensive, both in tokens you're paying for and in the agent moving further away from a working solution. The first move, almost always, is to stop. Stopping is hard, partly because it feels like giving up and partly because the agent's tone, even when it's stuck, is usually confident. The agent is not saying, I am lost. The agent is saying, let me try a slightly different approach, and then it tries a slightly different approach that is still wrong. The confidence makes it easier to keep going than it should be. You have to override that signal. You have to recognize that you are in the loop the hiker was in, with the markers no longer appearing, and that pushing harder will not produce the ridge. Once you have stopped, there are a small handful of moves you can make. Let me walk through them. The first move is to clear context. Start a new session. The contaminated history is what is hurting the agent, and the simplest way to undo that contamination is to start fresh. You do not have to lose everything. You can carry forward the parts of the work that were good. You can write a brief, clean summary of where things stand and start a new session with that summary, plus a focused next step. The agent in the new session is not carrying the wrong attempts forward. It can think clearly about the actual problem, because the actual problem is the only thing in its context. The second move, related to the first, is to narrow the scope. If you ask the agent to solve a large problem and it got stuck, ask it to solve a smaller version. Instead of asking it to fix the entire failing test suite, ask it to fix a single test with all the others marked as ignored. Instead of asking it to design a whole feature, ask it to design the function at the core of the feature with the surrounding pieces stubbed out. Smaller problems have smaller solution spaces. The agent that could not find the answer in a large space might find it easily in a small one. The third move is to show, not tell. When an agent has been struggling, sometimes the best thing you can do is write the first three lines of the answer yourself, by hand, and ask the agent to continue. You're not doing the agent's job for it. You are showing it the shape of the answer. The hardest thing about a hard problem is often the first step, the one that locks in the basic approach. Once the basic approach is on the page, the rest can flow. A good orchestrator is not afraid to grab the keyboard for that first step. The agent can do the rest. The fourth move is to restate the goal in completely different words. Sometimes the agent is stuck not because the problem is hard, but because the agent has misunderstood what you wanted. Re-explaining from scratch in different words with different emphasis can be enough. You might find, in the act of restating, that you yourself were not as clear as you thought. The agent might find, in the new wording, the angle that unlocks the problem. The fifth move, when all else has failed, is to escalate. Hand the task to a different agent, or different model, or sometimes to yourself. There is no shame in this. Some problems are not solvable by the agent you have, in the moment you have, with the information you have given it. Recognizing that and moving the task to a better home is part of the job. The cost of not escalating, of letting the agent burn through tokens in a loop, is far higher than the cost of the handoff. For you, as the orchestrator, the deeper skill underneath all of these moves is the same one the experienced hiker had on the trail. The willingness to stop, to back up, to give up some of the ground you covered in service of getting to the actual destination. Forward motion is not always progress. Sometimes the best move forward is a step backward. The orchestrators who do this naturally, who recognize the loop early, who clear context without hesitation, who narrow scope when stuck, are the ones whose agents seem to produce twice as much useful work per hour. The agents are not better. The orchestration is better. The agents stuck in loops are everywhere. The orchestrators who let them stay stuck are too. In the real production environments where serious software is being built with agent help today, this skill has become so important that some teams measure it. They look at, across all the sessions of the week, how many of them ended in the loop, with effort spent, but no progress. The metric is uncomfortable, but it is the right metric. Reducing it is the difference between a team that is 1.5 times more productive with agents and a team that is 3 or 4 times more productive. The agents are the same agents. The orchestration discipline is what changes. There is a question worth asking before we close, which is how to prevent the stuck pattern in the first place, rather than only how to recover from it. The honest answer is that prevention is half about the task you give the agent and half about the context you give it. A well-scoped task that the agent can actually finish is much less likely to end in a loop than a sprawling one. A task that comes with the right reference material, the right examples of similar code, the right files in the agent's context window, is much less likely to end in a loop than the same task in a blank session. The discipline of preparing the task before you start it is, in a sense, the prevention layer for the stuck pattern. Many of the agent's failures, when you investigate them carefully, are not failures of the agent at all. They are failures of the brief. Better briefs produce better work, and better work means fewer loops to recover from. It is also worth saying, because some people find this surprising, that the cost of letting the agent stay stuck is not only the wasted tokens and the wasted minutes. There's a more subtle cost, which is the cost to your own attention. Watching the agent fail repeatedly is mentally exhausting in a way that ordinary work is not, because you have to keep deciding over and over whether to intervene now or in a moment. Each repetition of the loop erodes your judgment a little. By the third or fourth attempt, you are less likely to make the good escalation move because you are tired. Catching the loop early is also catching it before your own attention has been worn down by it. There is a real argument on the basis of attention preservation alone for being more aggressive about escalating earlier rather than later. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that artificial intelligence agents do get stuck in patterns that look like effort but produce no progress, and the agent's confident tone often hides this from you for too long. The second is that there's a small, clear set of moves to make when you recognize the stuck pattern. Stop, clear context, narrow scope, show rather than tell, restate the goal, and finally escalate to a different agent or to yourself. The third is that the willingness to back up, to give up some of the ground you covered in service of getting to the actual destination, is one of the most important and underrated skills of the orchestrator's role. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to talk about the closely related question of how much to believe what the agent tells you when it claims to have finished. We will walk through the small discipline of verification that separates trust from naive faith, and we will see why this discipline is the bottleneck of leverage. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.